Steve is close by, but we've got a quorum. So let's call the council back to order and take up item 490.
What title?
So, okay, we'll do a roll call. First, we're convening as the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee. So would you please call the roll, Gina?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Novick? Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. It is still morning.
Should we read the title first, Mayor?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead and read the title.
Approval of the fiscal year 2013-2014 Portland Development Commission budget. Mayor convenes council as Portland Development Commission Budget Committee.
Ready?
Yes.
Good morning. We're going to try to keep this as close to the 15 minutes as possible. I'm Scott Andrews, not to be confused with Andrew Scott. I suggested that he change his name. He's not planning on doing that, and he'll probably be around longer than I am anyway. But I did want to thank you for the time and effort that you've taken over the last several months to get to know our rather large and complex budget. Always appreciate the opportunity to speak on an equal basis and really understand each other and what the goals and opportunities and prospects are. So with that, I'm going to hand this over to Executive Director Quinton, and he's going to walk you through the changes.
Yes, good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. And we have a few just minor changes to highlight, but everything else about the budget is basically the same. So as a result of the changes in the general fund that you just went through, we have added a little over $200,000 to our budget as a resource. It comes in as an intergovernmental revenue on the program side, the expenditure side. It falls into our broad category of business development. But as Andrew went through, it relates to programs like Venture Portland and our Main Street program. And then in addition, as we mentioned at our presentation 2 weeks ago, we do foresee extra demand for our community livability grant program in Lent, and so we've doubled the line item in that part of the budget from 300 to 600. So it's an additional 300,000 in that line item. So that's a total of a little over $500,000 change in our budget, and because of our the level of contingency that we carry in our budget, the additional $300,000 doesn't come out of another line item. We just move it from contingency into that line item. So with that, and you have our memo in response to the questions that were raised in the May 15th presentation. We're happy to answer any other questions you have today, and I guess I'll turn it over to you. I am joined by Tony Barnes, who is our version of Andrew Scott, so he gets all the credit for the budget work. And instead of me looking over my shoulder when you ask questions, I thought Tony should just come up to the table and be here to answer questions as well.
Great. Thank you. So questions either following up on the earlier ones or new ones?
Mayor, I had one question just to clarify something. I think I know the answer, but with respect now to the enhanced community livability grant that can be accessed in the Lentz neighborhood, What is the maximum amount an applicant can seek from that fund?
I'm probably misspeaking here, but I don't think we have a defined maximum. I think we take a look at the total pool of applicants, the needs that are expressed in those applications, and so we base it on that. I think historic practice has been, we could go as high as $300,000, but typically the grants are more in the $50,000 to $100,000 range. But I mean, we are aware of the potential applications within Lentz, and I think we could go as high as $300,000 on individual applications.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Great. Thank you. We'll see if there public testimony. Are people signed up? Okay. So let's take public testimony now. Call you back up if we need you. Thank you.
I have Joe Walsh, Lightning, and Marianne Schwab.
Good morning. Go ahead, Lightning. We'll give Mary Ann the last word again.
Yes, my name is Lightning. PDC, the way I view PDC myself is somebody that has the ability to do a lot more for the homeless. I feel they have the ability, the knowledge, and the know-how to really get it done in working with the mayor and various people. And one of the things that I see here is that if we start focusing on developments such as the Bud Clark Commons and maybe getting one placed on the east side, I mean, $45 million, maybe bring in somebody, on the EB-5 program, bring in some money. There's money out there to bring into these projects. Homer Williams, as you know, Mayor, is somebody that has the potential to raise money. He gets the job done, plain and simple. And he's raised, my understanding, close to $100 million and off these projects. And why not get some money raised for these type of housing projects, which I think foreign investors would have a great interest in placing money into these projects, and their money would be safe, and they would get a return over time, and it would benefit the city in just such a great way. Again, like I've stated, just with PDC, I hope that there is more interest in really doing things for the homeless and getting developments for the homeless. And, you know, once we don't have the 1,500 plus or minus people out on the sidewalks, under the bridges, and in the doorways, I'm not going to be in front of the council having discussions about PDC and how much more they can do, because they have the ability, with the mayor's cooperation and working with the mayor, to get the job done and to get the housing and to get some of these projects built. And the money's out there. We have historic low interest rates. We have developers that want to participate. And my feeling is another issue on the property taxes, the revenue that will be produced on a lot of these development projects coming into play. Once they begin to produce that property tax revenue, I want to make sure that a certain amount of that money is being earmarked toward the homeless. I want to make sure that that money is being earmarked, and we're going to have a tremendous amount of revenue coming in. And I'll be candid, Mayor. I feel that you have made a great deal of optimism in this city. People are looking at it right now, and they feel good. The economy looks good. I give you credit for that. And I think there's going to be a lot of good things happening throughout this city, and the homeless will benefit also. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Morning, Mary Ann.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, I have got a couple wonderful things to say about PDC and one little thundercloud. But when I bought our house, my husband and I bought a Craftsman-style house 40 years ago. PDC came in, and they had a housing development block grant money through PDC to rehab our houses. We put on a new roof. We put in a new furnace. It was one of those big sawdust burners. I mean, they did a lot to help the individual family. And over time, it's gone more and more to the big developer and the big investors. And I'm wondering, and listening to the gentleman just testify, what's going on in the Lentz neighborhood, if that's the similar, where those dollars are going to those individuals, if they, too, are accessing those dollars to upgrade those 1920, 1940s houses, because they do need that. That is really, really vital when you have someone moving in. I think it's $62.4 million earmarked right now for the PDC in the Lentz neighborhood. And the same neighborhood where Portland Public Schools decided to close the Marshall High School. This is crazy. We got to start tightening up on the closure of 40 school properties. But aside from that, the thundercloud I'm talking about is there is they're all cotton candy to me. Just a shade under $1 million is on hold with the Central East Side URAC earmarked for the community center at Washington High School. So regardless of the transition and the transition they have with these fluid budgets, I want to make sure those dollars are on hold until Commissioner Fish finds money available to finish the community center to meet the needs of the inner southeast neighborhoods. I may be 97 by the time we find it, and if that's how long it takes for those dollars to sit there, They got to sit there. And that's the insurance I want from PDC today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else? And any further questions for staff or for Scott? Then let's take a roll call, please.
Fish?
Thank you, Chair Scott Andrews, and all of your colleagues on the commission. We need to remember today that you all serve as volunteers, unpaid. And I have absolutely no idea how you balance the rest of your life with this assignment, but my guess is that we get the most productive part of your time in terms of public service, and you should be thanked for that and the good work that you do. To Patrick Quinton and his team, thank you for your outstanding work and acknowledging something Steve said earlier. Just like with the city, PDC is going through big changes and significant layoffs. And no one takes any delight in having to lay off talented professionals with families who've served our city so well. So as you right-size the Bureau, we say thank you to all the people who have devoted so much of their time and service to our city. I want to end on a positive note. And I, by the way, whoever just gave the mayor credit for the changing economy and all the bright prospects, I mean, it's hard enough to work with this guy, but his head is now going to be, his head is now going to be like the Hindenburg. Thank you also for the winning streak of our local soccer team's mayor. And
weather, you know,
and
it gets better.
With any luck, we'll get a good draft pick, thanks to you, in the NBA. But there is a more positive feeling in our community, and let's acknowledge that. And I think one way we can gauge it is the poll that you recently did, which I read about in the newspaper. And I think it's worth noting that there were a couple of findings in that poll which I think are directly attributable to the way in which you manage your business. When asked whether respondents agree with the statement that the PDC plays an important role in our community, 72% agree with that. When asked to give the highest ranking of priorities, the highest ranking category, which was an average of 8.2 out of 10, was creating and keeping good jobs in Portland. And 95% of the respondents agreed that we should focus on neighborhoods most in need of business growth. I think those are extremely encouraging findings as we take up the challenge that the mayor has laid out as the next chapter of his service, which is this PDC, what will it look like? What will be its primary mission and how will it serve our city? But to me, these numbers reflect a very strong vote of confidence by the public in what you're doing. And there's one other piece of data in that poll which I think confirms what Lightning said about a sense of renewed optimism in our community, which may be why it will not be headlined anywhere in any publication. And that is, over the last 3 years, we've seen an 11% increase in Portlanders who think we're on the right track. And I think it's really quite remarkable, not only that 61% of the respondents in this poll felt the city's on the right track, but that less than 30% feel we're on the wrong track. And that is raw data. It's in the aggregate. But I think it reflects what we sense as elected officials out in the community. People love the city. And they love their parks, and they love their neighborhoods, and they're proud of this city. And we've just come through the worst recession in our lifetime. And there's some little signs that we're heading in the right direction. And as we move forward, PDC is going to play, in my judgment, a critical role for a more prosperous and more equitable city. And so thank you for your service and your work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Novick.
This is a total aside, but since Commissioner Fish was mentioning teams on winning streaks, I think we should take a moment to acknowledge the Division III national champion baseball team from Linfield, led by Scott Brocious, formerly of the New York Yankees. And Patrick, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your quick responses to all of the questions that I've asked you over the past few months, not just about the budget, but about other aspects of PDC's work. So thank you very much, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Thank you. Fritz.
So 5 years ago, the Portland Development Commission hearing and budget would not have been so smooth and accomplished in 15 minutes. We've all worked hard, I think, over the past several years to establish a more constructive and productive relationship between the two bodies. And Chair Andrews, I really appreciate your leadership and your guidance of the amazing volunteers that serve on the commission, and Patrick Quinton, your leadership at the Bureau, under some very difficult times of cutting staff and having a new union and various other things that you are dealing with, and at the same time looking to how do we promote economic development in the city of Portland. I believe that the dividing off of the Housing Bureau under Commissioner Fish's leadership 4 years ago was very much helpful in making each entity focus on its core missions. And so I'm very happy to support this budget here today. Thank you for all your work. Aye.
Hales?
Well, I think Portland is on the rise, and one of the reasons for it is the good work of the Portland Development Commission. And we have, I think, great prospects as a city, and PDC is going to play a very important role. It's not history, it's also future. And it will play an important role in economic development and job growth, and it will also play an important role in placemaking downtown, in the central city, in neighborhoods, in a variety of places, in some ways that we know that work and some new ways that we'll experiment with and find new things that work. I was at the Lentz Neighborhood Association meeting last night just for a discussion, and there's a great deal of optimism in that neighborhood about working with PDC to make good on the hopes of that urban renewal areas plan. And I hear that from around the city. I hear it in the Central East Side. I certainly see evidence of it in the Pearl District every day. That's an amazing success story. So I think there are really some great opportunities ahead. I think we have a great team to work with, and I agree with Commissioner Fritz's comments. We have a good working relationship between the governing body of the city and the commission and your staff. So good days ahead, good work to do, new resources to be found, new opportunities to be realized with a lot of great partners in the community. Thank you for good work. Aye.
Thank you.
And we will now adjourn the PDC Budget Committee. Thank you very much. And resume the City Council meeting as soon as Gina and Carla can change chairs. And we'll take up item 503.
Amend tree regulations to change the effective date from July 1, 2013 to January 1, 2015.
Second reading, roll call.
Fish.
I appreciate Commissioner Salzman's amendment, which I think underscored a sense of urgency in implementing our revised tree code. And I want to thank Hannah Kuhn on my team, who is the my tree guru. Aye.
Salzman.
I'm just checking to see whether the amendment that passed last week is part of it.
I think it's incorporated.
Yes, that was. It's labeled as amended on 522, an updated ordinance. Did you get it in your packets, I believe?
Make sure.
Okay, well.
Do you want to see mine?
Yeah, there we go. Amend. All right.
Okay.
Very back page.
Great. Thank you for.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carla. Aye.
Novick.
Novick. Aye.
Fritz.
No.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. Item 504, please.
Amend fee schedules for building, land use services, neighborhood inspections, noise control, plumbing, signs, and site development permits.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Thank you. 505.
Adopt a new Bureau of Transportation policy to prioritize maintenance work on city-owned and maintained local streets.
Mr. Widmer.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Before you today is a resolution that gives transportation the authority to resume preventive maintenance work on local roads that we have responsibility for. The resolution in 2009 directed PBOT to reduce pavement preservation on those local roads. The city has about 4,900 miles of roads, of which 3,000 of those miles are local roads, roads that most people live on. Local roads have low traffic volumes, tend to have low speeds. The streets do not contain bus routes, but provide neighborhood streets access to larger, busier streets that allow people to get around the town. These streets decline more slowly than other streets because they don't carry transit or trucks, so they really do deteriorate much slowly. This policy, though, before you, addresses the recommendation from the auditor's office in a recent pavement audit, which was to revisit the 2009 resolution and resume pavement preservation on local streets. If you approve the resolution before you today, we aim to do crack sealing and fog sealing on about 50 miles of local roads, in addition to the 50 miles of roads that we will do grind and pave. This will prevent 50 miles of local roads that are in fair or better condition from slipping into poor or very poor condition. The $500,000 that we are proposing to spend on these local roads could be spent on arterials and collectors, but by comparison, that $500,000 would get us about 3 miles of grind and pave, while it'll get us 50 miles of crack seal and fog seal on our local roads. The budget that you just approved will shift $4.1 million to street maintenance that was not in this current year's budget. $1.5 million of that 4.1 will go to our maintenance division to do $500,000 of local road maintenance and $1 million of the grind and pave on collectors and arterials. In addition to that, it will spend $2.6 million in capital improvements on roads that need significant rehabilitation. So it's sort of a win-win for everybody involved. It works for local streets, it works for collectors, and it works for arterials. So I would urge you to vote in favor of the resolution before you.
Thanks, Ted. Questions? Yes, Mr. Fish.
Director Widmer, thank you. A couple of questions. According to the financial impact statement, this will be funded out of existing O&M dollars? Is that correct?
Yes.
So what we're doing is taking money out of one pot and putting it into another pot effectively?
Yes.
Okay.
The local road maintenance, yes. It's a choice that we're making. We could do it on collectors and arterials, but we think it's a better deal to go to the local streets.
And how did you arrive at the figure of a $500,000?
We have some. We have a crack sealing budget now. We don't have any fog sealing. This would figure the fog sealing and additional crack sealing coupled with that crack sealing. It takes about $875,000 to get us to the 50 miles, but the $500,000 added to the existing crack sealing budget gets us at $875,000.
And then there's one aspect of this I guess I still don't understand, which is I support the idea of putting money into this program and funding the purpose you've identified. But why in the resolution are you proposing that we rescind an earlier action and then direct you to adopt a new policy? Why is that essential? Why do you need to do that if we could simply agree to allocate the $500,000 for a purpose that you've designated?
Because we want council to recognize the importance of maintenance on all of our streets, and that's a recommendation in the auditor's report that we rescind that 2009 resolution.
I guess I'm raising, Mayor, more of a philosophical point. We take scarce resources every year and decide how to invest housing dollars in what categories of homelessness. And it's a zero-sum game. If we don't fund families and children, then we fund veterans. If we don't fund veterans, it's victims of domestic violence. And these are discrete policy choices we have to make. And my own view is that when we're rescinding a policy and adopting a policy, normally we have a different level of debate and engagement than if we're simply deciding how to allocate money. So, again, I'm not clear why this is couched in terms of repeal and adopt a new policy. My sense would be you'd say, we want to put $500,000 into this worthy purpose. Here's the public benefit. And then we want to have a conversation about priorities within the Bureau and policies. But in a sense, I think we've short-circuited that by incorporating both in the same resolution.
Well, let me answer that from my perspective. I mean, I think the Council needs to make this decision heads up and eyes open that we're going to make a commitment to maintain local streets as well as arterials and collectors. And then we have a budget that reflects that policy as well. So to me, this Bureau or any Bureau is guided by a combination of budgeting and policy. And I want us to be, I believe we should be explicit in our policy that the City of Portland is responsible for the whole street network and that we're going to make a commitment to catching up to the maintenance backlog on both local streets and arterials.
And I guess I would say that's a laudable goal, and I understand the connection, but it just seems unusual for us to repeal and adopt a new policy without a community conversation. I get the $500,000 going into the purpose, but the auditor makes all kinds of recommendations from which we don't simply adopt the recommendation. This may be the best idea since sliced bread, but we haven't been briefed on it. B, we haven't had a community conversation about it. And C, I honestly don't know what it means to repeal and adopt a new policy, the broader implication. And maybe I'm the only one here who's so thick as to say that, but I'd like a little more conversation about that because it seems that we're not just targeting resources, we're rolling out a change in policy, and I frankly have missed the discussion on this.
Well, I don't think it's actually it's not that complicated. It's are we going to make a commitment to local streets or not? And as I said earlier, I think this council has a big rock to roll soon, which is we're going to need additional revenue to maintain the streets that we own and catch up on the backlog. And I believe that obligation is to catch up to the whole backlog, not just to the part on arterials. And if we're going to ask the citizens of Portland to tax themselves more to pay for their transportation system, which I propose to do sometime in the next year, then we want to make clear that's the street in front of your house is on the list.
And I'm likely to agree with you, Mayor. What I would suggest is this doesn't seem like the place when we're talking about $500,000 to have a debate about policy. If the question is, does the council want to reverse a prior policy and adopt a new one, I think that's well within the Bureau's right to present that. My sense is we should set this over a week and actually have that discussion at a colleague level and better understand it. I'm prepared to vote for the $500,000. I don't quite fully understand the implications of the other pieces, and I haven't had a chance to have a briefing on that, and I would feel more comfortable decoupling, at least for now, so that I understand what is the impact on the system, our budget, and our priorities, because it's just not something that I've been engaged on.
Jamie?
I'm Jamie Waltz, a transportation asset manager. And just a little context, I think that there's a separate discussion about the fact of rescinding and putting a new one. But in 2009, when this resolution went to council, it basically limited PBOT's ability to do preventive maintenance work on the local roads, and we just filled potholes. So what we're wanting now is council direction or approval to say it's acceptable for us to resume the preventive maintenance work, good asset or good pavement management policy on the local roads, and so that we're not beholden by this resolution that was passed in 2009.
So that is such a great answer that I think it suggested to me another path, which if I could just put it on the table. I'm not even uncomfortable repealing. If you need the repeal of 2009 to do this, I'm not even uncomfortable with that. I guess it's the language about directing you to come up with a new policy. So I'd like to be involved in the sausage making about developing a new policy. And I don't know what that entails, but if you are going to replace it with something, I'd like that to come to council so we can have a discussion about that. So, Mayor, that might be.
I assume it would.
That was well, that's not what the resolution says. It says that PBOT will adopt a new policy.
Okay.
And there isn't
so
a new policy currently that I've been able to find, right? There's nothing in writing that says what your new policy is.
So the policy is just so that we can resume preventive or work on the local roads that we own and maintain. We do have a prioritization approach, which is not attached to this resolution, but that's similar to the streets of citywide significance that we have for arterial and collectors.
I, for one, would be comfortable, Mayor, if there was a commitment to come back to council with an explanation of this new policy going forward and any changes in funding and approach, because I what I understand you're asking for today is the authority to invest the $500,000. And I have no opposition to that. I just want to make sure that in doing so, I'm not embracing a larger set of changes that I don't understand.
And to lift the bar or the ban on maintaining local
streets.
So maybe if I might suggest, if based on what I've heard so far in this council discussion, if we change the word adopt to prepare with the understanding that that policy will come back to council for what's going to guide future work, then I'm comfortable with that. But we want to we have a budget year about to start. We have a new PBOT director, we hope soon selected, and we want to clear the decks for Toby's successor to be able to do the job. And the job, I believe, should include maintaining local streets. So that's why this is here now.
Does that work for you? Does that allow you to spend the $500 while we're waiting for a development of a larger policy or discussion?
Sure.
That's not my intent to hold up the dollars out the door. But the larger policy discussion, there's even a chance one of us may end up as having PBOT in their portfolio. And I think this is an opportunity to bring your colleagues along to better understand the policy piece, because I frankly don't understand it as well as I should.
And if I may just add, the approach that we're taking with the how we're figuring out where we're going to be fog sealing and crack sealing is based on the pavement condition index data that we have and our safety data, who utilizes the local network system, our local road system. And so we really are focusing on neighborhood greenways, which is where we prioritize bicycle and pedestrian, as well as a quarter mile within schools where we have our safe routes to school programs. And so that's the approach that we're taking with figuring out where we're going to be fog sealing in the next year.
Maybe a friendly amendment, Mayor.
Yes.
So
yes.
I have what I think is a friendly amendment, so that it would be to amend the now therefore, be it resolved that the Portland City Council directs the Bureau of Transportation, the Portland City Council rescinds Resolution 36672 and directs the Portland Bureau of Transportation to prepare a new policy for prioritization of preservation activities on city-owned and maintained local streets for council review and approval.
Okay, that's a good motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We'll have that on the table for further discussion. Does that still give you what you need in terms of approval? Further discussion or questions before we take testimony?
Further question, what is fog sealing?
it's a mixture of asphalt emulsion, rubber from used tires, and grit. And essentially what it does is the crack sealing, seals the street and prevents moisture from getting into and under the street. The fog seal comes along, goes on top of that, and preserves the street by blocking the sun, the effects of the sun, and puts down a new wearing surface. It's not a pavement overlay, but it on local streets, our hope is that it will provide protection and preservation for some 7 to 10 years. We've seen it in surrounding communities work pretty effectively.
So it doesn't actually have anything to do with fog?
No. That's just as it's happening.
Okay.
It's sprayed on, and it creates sort of a fog, and that's how it got to the name.
Thank you.
The fog you don't want to be out in.
There's some environmental concerns that
we can do that.
Oh, a further friendly amendment.
Okay. Further questions for staff, and then let's see if we have public testimony. Caller, do we have anyone signed up on this item?
No one else signed up.
Okay. Then a roll call on the resolution as amended.
Want a roll call on the amendment first?
Okay.
Fish.
Mr. Director, I appreciate this thoughtful exchange and you're walking us through this and your flexibility on this.
Thanks.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I just want to say that I appreciate the fact that the Bureau takes the Council's policy direction so seriously and literally that you felt that you had to ask for a change in policy to spend $500,000. So I very much appreciated the discussion. Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
We're starting a turn with the help of Toby and his able team with the Bureau of Transportation. And that is towards a future where we are maintaining the streets that we own and where we're systematically adding in the missing infrastructure in neighborhoods that we annexed or otherwise never got the paved street or proper infrastructure installed in the first place. It's a big job. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to require a lot of public support. But having the Bureau's policies well-founded at this table by the Council, having a commitment to the whole system, and then coming up with smart, cost-effective solutions like this fog sealing program is exactly what we need to be doing. I just want to thank you again for the work that you've done in this victory lap that we called you back for, Toby. I'm not sure how many more times we'll have you formally in front of the Council during your remaining service here as acting director, but to go from where we were in this year to 100 miles of repaving and a Bureau that still has a solid commitment to transportation choices across the city and a lot of great projects queued up to make Portland a better place. I appreciate all the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aye. Thanks.
That was just the amendment.
That's the amendment. Sorry. We got to adopt the resolution as amended.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Thanks very much. Okay. Where are we? Sorry. 506.
Authorize the Bureau of Transportation to execute real property deeds in the amount of $1,202,453 in transportation system development charge overlay credits required for construction of the new Water Avenue project, indemnify Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, and the Oregon Department of Energy, authorize the naming and renaming of segments of Southeast Water Avenue, and authorize transfer of real property to TriMet.
Speaking of great projects queued up, here you are.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Dee Walker with Transportation Right-of-Way Acquisition. Before you is an ordinance, which is the last piece in finalizing the relocation of Southeast Water Avenue. The ordinance authorizes property transactions per previous council direction in August of 2012. So I have Art Pierce with me to give you some background on the project, and then after he speaks, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Good afternoon, Council, Mayor. Great to see you again. Carla, maybe we can put up the slideshow. Just because the right-of-way maps are, and particularly because right-of-way maps are a little hard to read, I thought I would pull us back just a moment and give you an overview of the project again, especially because Council took such a keen interest in the Water Avenue relocation last year when we adopted it. So the Water Avenue project itself is the green alignment shown there on the illustration. And this is a realignment of Water Avenue, which previously ran where the red line is. And this really is key to facilitating the coming of streetcar and the coming of light rail connections to and from the new Portland-Milwaukee Bridge, and provides a better, more direct connection for bicycles, pedestrians, and freight and motor vehicles to Southwest 4th Avenue. The project itself of Water Avenue was added as a betterment to the Portland-Milwaukee project, and so we added funding to the Portland-Milwaukee project to complete that project, and that was a partnership between PDOT, BES, OMSI, PDC, and TriMet all contributed to the project, and that was authorized last August to head into construction, which is good because it is already almost done with construction. Here's some pictures actually from this morning. This is looking north from the intersection of Carruthers and 4th Avenue, and so this is the almost complete new Water Avenue project. And you'll see the Rail Heritage Museum on the right now has a new front door on this new street.
You can walk. This allows you to walk from OMSI in a much more direct way, not having to go around
Absolutely.
The viaduct.
Previously, this location was certainly tucked deep kind of within the parcels and within all the rail lines there. As one of the, here, just to make sure you're oriented, one of the key elements of this project is it creates what is now going to be called Southeast Second Place as a main convening area for expansion of OMSI's properties as well as Opera's properties. So in the center there, we will now have a pedestrian bike and rail plaza area that will provide for all the connections to occur there. So another picture, this is now looking south from farther up at what was the location where Water Avenue turned right. And then you can see in the middle of this picture, this is Water Avenue, the old Water Avenue, now being renamed Southeast Second Place. And you can already see the construction of the new retaining wall for the closed-loop streetcar project. So the reconstruction of Old Water Avenue is already taking place at a rapid pace, and it is now sort of a driveway connection off of the primary roadway. So the transactions that are being authorized today in purple are the elements that are the right-of-way that we are acquiring from OMSI and from Opera to provide for the new roadway. And then in red, adjacent to the right-of-way, we acquired some of OMSI's property in fee to provide for an alignment of the PGE transmission lines, the utility lines. Previously, those utility lines ran over the top of all of these parcels and would render them undevelopable. So one of the big benefits of the Water Avenue project was to move the utility lines off to the side of the development area and create some parcels that could be useful. I think that's so. Maybe I'll stop there. We can see if there's questions, and Dee can give more details on some of the transactions. So,
great questions. Looks good.
Okay,
thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here to testify on this item?
Yes, we have one person, Marianne Schwab.
Don't think she's still here. If not, then this is an emergency ordinance. Let's take a roll call, please.
Fish.
Thank you for a very succinct presentation and staying within your 15 minutes. And nice work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for the presentation, and thanks to Dee for answering my staff's question ahead of time. Aye.
Hales.
This is one of those projects that I think demonstrates that we're good at this important one, that is this combination of transportation project design and placemaking and economic development. If you look at OMSI's master plan, if you look at the station area that we're going to have around this light rail station, this really sets the stage for a lot of great opportunities. So great work. Thank you. Aye. And while we're on the subject of transportation, let's take up 507.
Revised transportation fees, rates, and charges for fiscal year 2013-14 and fix an effective date.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 508.
Extend special rates and charges and create new permit types for public works permitting services through fiscal year 2013-14.
Roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
509, amend the City of Portland Health Plan and the City of Portland Cafeteria Plan to reflect necessary plan administrative and design changes as recommended by the Labor Management Benefits Committee and requested by the Bureau of Human Resources for city self-insured plans beginning July 1, 2013.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, Council, Anna Canwit, Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. Kathy Bless, who is our benefits manager, is actually going to be presenting the ordinance today. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the excellent work that is done by the City Labor Management Benefits Committee. This is the committee that's responsible for making plan design changes to our self-insured plan. It's made up of the city's union leaders and corresponding number of managers, and they take this job very seriously, work very hard to have a plan design that recognizes the needs of the city and employees, and a design that's fiscally sound and also, again, creates a very effective health plan for our employees.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Kathy Bless, Benefits and Wellness Manager for the City. As part of the upcoming, well, current annual enrollment process, the ordinance before you establishes the 2013-14 City of Portland Health Plan and Cafeteria Plan to reflect the necessary administrative and plan design changes for the upcoming fiscal year. I'll review these changes with you this morning, and we'll also take a few minutes to provide you an update on our health plan and wellness. The cafeteria plan that's up for adoption identifies the provisions of the premium payment plan, allowing for pre-tax deductions of health care benefits and flexible spending account elections. This year, the changes to the cafeteria plan were not material and were to ensure language changes in the plan document and the cafeteria plan remain consistent. The plan document identifies the provisions and plan design of the city's self-insured health plans and includes any administrative changes also required by healthcare reform. The plan document contains the self-insured benefit plan design changes recommended by the Labor Management Benefits Committee, and those changes would be effective July 1, 2013. The Labor Management Benefits Committee has a long history. The committee began in the early 90s with the intention of working collaboratively on benefit plan design for the city's self-insured medical plan. The committee has worked through many significant issues related to plan design over the years. Much of it, however, was during periods of time when the health fund had additional money held in reserve that could be used to offset the costs of health care. And while our reserves are adequately funded, we no longer have a cushion to help lessen the burden of significant plan increases and must be able to have difficult discussions about health care and plan design. There is significant savings shown in the revised forecast for fiscal year 2013 and 14 that is a direct result of those discussions within the LMBC. Both labor and management came together, made thoughtful decisions to propose changes to the health plan, creating savings for the whole city and limiting the increase to 8.7%. It is important to acknowledge the excellent work of this committee. The LMBC recommends the following changes: increasing the in-network deductible from $200 to $250 per person with a corresponding increase to out-of-network deductibles, increasing the out-of-pocket maximum from $1,800 to $2,250 per person, again with corresponding increases to out-of-network maximums. Office visit copay for in-network primary care will be increased from $15 to $20. Specialty and urgent care copays increased to $35. Advanced imaging copays increased to $75. Emergency room copay increased to $200. Lastly, there were changes to prescription medications, balancing healthcare reform, choice, clinical effectiveness, and costs between plan members and the city. The changes recommended today are still supportive of wellness and continue to support employees by offering a competitive benefit package to a diverse city population. During the last 4 years, the city has made employee wellness a priority, and I want to take a few minutes this morning to update you on the successes and challenges within this program. The wellness program has three main goals: to create a culture of wellness throughout the city, increase participation within wellness activities, and to show improvement in health benchmarks in a number of areas. It will be important within the coming months to update and work on new measurements and benchmarks for this plan moving forward. During the 2002 Wellness Employee Survey, it indicated that 69% of respondents felt there were appropriate wellness offerings and had seen noticeable improvements in the program, and that was up from 52% in 2011. Across all age brackets of respondents, time is the primary roadblock to making healthy decisions, and stress was the primary health challenge. Most everyone felt their health status was good to excellent, and although less than 13% of the respondents identified their health status as fair to poor, that is actually in line with the percent of participants who use the most dollars under the health plan. 16% of all participants under the health plan use 78% of the total revenue that's collected for the plan.
Could you say that again?
Wow.
16% of all participants use 78% of the dollars that we collect. Clearly, it is vitally important to ensure we have programs to support these folks and to support those who may become part of that group in future years. Weight, mobility, pain, obesity remain significant roadblocks for city participants. Nearly 72% of respondents to the survey said they needed to lose at least 5 pounds, while 30% said they needed to lose at least 20, and 11% said they could lose at least 50 pounds. Even 20% of the survey participants between the ages of 18 and 29 felt they needed to lose at least 20 pounds. We will actively work with participants to ensure folks understand that they can work with a nutritionist under the CityCorp plan and that we have coaching programs in place to help support the healthy efforts of city employees. Many, many folks are trying, and many, many folks are becoming more aware and are trying new things. Last year, I told council that we were working with ODS to develop an intensive chronic care management program that will specifically address the high-risk population and provide them with goal-oriented care and support to improve their quality of life, their motivation, and self-responsibility. The first invitations for this program went out in October of 2002. We have over 40 participants and many more family members in the program and are getting some very exciting feedback. It will take time to correlate the feedback into success, but the program continues to grow in significant ways, and I look forward to sharing data with you next spring. Healthcare continues to be a difficult issue, and everyone is looking for the opportunity to make a difference. We are starting to make that difference. I look forward to the challenges ahead, and I'm always grateful to share our experiences with you and know that we have your continued support. Thank you for your time today, and I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Kathy. Questions?
Just one question, Mayor. Thank you for making such a compelling case for diet and exercise as the cornerstone of a wellness program. Years ago, we talked about whether we could provide financial incentives to employees to actually join health clubs or get access to our rec centers so they could do the exercise piece. Could you give us an update on that?
We have facilities around the city for employees to use either before, during their lunchtime, or after work, and we provide those facilities free. We also, through our EAP, have discounts available for many of the commercial fitness centers around the Portland area. We do not offer other incentives for folks to exercise other than some of the partnerships that we had with parks for scavenger hunts. We sent out maps for the last couple of years inviting folks to enjoy the parks during the summer with all the activities. We still have coaching programs that are available for people that are free of charge through ODS. We also have them available through Kaiser. Still a number of different incentives that we will discuss over the course of the next year and how to work those into the health plan.
You know, if we could get everybody 15 minutes with Chuck Amato, it probably would be life-changing, and I might speak from personal experience. You mentioned commercial things, so mm-hmm. that sounds like a 24-hour fitness discount. Might we at some point consider a discount to get people into city-owned and managed facilities like rec centers so that if that happens to be the competitively priced, convenient location, the incentives extend to that as well as the commercial?
I think that would be a wonderful discussion to have.
And I think the rec center directors would welcome that, Mayor, because it would open up some discussions, and also with groups like African American Healthcare Coalition and others, which historically have relied on grant funding to bring the cost down. But if we created parity with the commercial facilities, we might actually have more customers and from our own family using our facilities and cross-subsidizing our facilities.
I like that idea very much. I think it's given the aside from the cost impact, the human impact of having a healthier, happier workforce is enormous. So,
can we take a look at that?
I'd love to take a look at that. Yeah, let's do. I think we've got a great network of community centers. We own them. So it seems to me there's an opportunity there.
We do. Some of the challenge in the past when we've discussed it is the maintenance and upkeep of the equipment that would be used. And so we can absolutely discuss it and look at it.
I think one of the things you'll find from the professionals at the Bureau is they would also be keen on talking about off-hour pricing. Mm-hmm. They have downtimes in their schedule, so if we create incentives for employees to use that time as well, that actually may even have a benefit.
Great. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at this and make it happen. I think it's a great idea. Good. Any other questions, suggestions for our team here?
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. One is that it's an interesting coincidence that we're talking about transportation and now we're talking about health and wellness, and because there is a connection between the two. And we should always remember that we make investments in active transportation in Portland. We're making investments in health. I mean, in Copenhagen, where 40% of all trips are taken by bicycle, the government justifies their investments in bicycle infrastructure by the return they see in terms of reduced health care costs. So our city's values in terms of transportation fit in well with their goals in terms of health. I also wanted to say that the work that Kathy and the Labor Management Benefits Committee does is important, and it's innovative, and it's farsighted. And I think that this city, along with some other private sector employers in the region, such as Intel, that are looking really hard at healthcare costs and innovative strategies, can be models and partners to the rest of the region. And I think that this is an area where we can be very proud of what we have done and are going to do. So thank you.
Great. Thanks. Is there anyone signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
And this is an emergency ordinance. Let's have a roll call, please.
Fish.
Thank you for your good work and for putting wellness at the heart of what we do at the city. And I think I'm proof that even someone in their 50s can get some coaching about diet and exercise and hopefully reduce some of their risk factors. So appreciate it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you and the LMBC for their good work. Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
When I was assigned to the wellness program in 2009, I attended many Labor Management Benefit Committee meetings and was so impressed that I stopped going because it was very clear that you were doing a very good job of managing the process. And indeed, it's a unique collaboration between labor and management and works extremely well. So I've appreciated the plan design changes that you've brought over the last 4 years. I do hope that in our next budget that we will start funding again the checks, the blood pressure and glucose and other blood tests that we have not had in the budget the last 2 years, because in order to be able to monitor how we're doing, we need to have those objective measurements. And so for next year's budget, that's something that I would be interested in doing. But thank you for your work. Aye.
Hales.
I just want to contrast the numbers that caught our attention there, that 16% of our workforce are responsible for their health conditions are responsible for 78% of our cost in the system. Contrast that with the fact that Portland has once again been ranked one of the most active cities in the country. So we have a gap to close there between the opportunities to be fit and healthy in Portland and our own workforce's situation. So the work you're doing and doing it cooperatively with labor is really important, and the kind of creative partnerships that we just talked about here in this discussion are more of what we need to be doing. Thanks for good work. Aye. Okay, 510, please.
Authorize agreements with Delta Development LLC and Sports Field Management LLC to facilitate field improvements and license agreement for Delta Park sports fields.
I'm not sure who but thought about all the transitions in this council calendar, but here we're going to talk about active recreation, so somehow karma is with us.
And I heard you mention partnership works earlier in the budget. So this is a youth community sports field partnership that we're going to be presenting to you today. It's been many years in
the record, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Todd Lofgren, Property and Business Development Manager, Portland Parks and Recreation. We're pleased to bring this to you today. It's been many years in the making, As many of you know, Portland Parks and Recreation owns Delta Park. It includes 7 softball fields, 1 all-weather synthetic sports field with lights, and 8 grass turf sports fields. Over a decade ago, Portland citizens, Portland Parks and Recreation,